Welcome to the Mentally Strong Podcast.
All right, Dr. B here from Mentally Strong. This is the start of my annual grief series. And why do I do a grief series? Because it's my way of doing controlled grief. I talk a lot about this. When you have experienced grief, you must take the time to feel the pain. And October 30th was the anniversary of my son's death from DRPLA. That was Reggie. I lost a son, Johnny, in 2005 to a tragic drowning accident. And I need to make sure that I continue to take care of myself, that I want to turn that pain into purpose, but it has to be a conscious process. So we're going to start this grief series. And last year I talked a lot about, you know, taking the time to do controlled grief. So, and then one of my most viewed, or the most viewed YouTube video is one where I'm literally feeling the pain, experiencing my son's death, and sharing that process with you. Today I want to focus on guilt around grief. I hear this a lot when people are talking about grief, and you'll notice I'm grabbing these are the Reggie's ashes that I wear with me. And you know, there's sometimes guilt, shame, anger around a grief, and this is why it's so important when we're teaching the Mentally Strong Method, is that we help you to separate these things, right? Grief, all you can do is feel the pain, right? But I'm going to tell you about guilt and anger today. You know, guilt of, could I have done something different? What did I do wrong? Could I have changed the outcome of that day? And going back to Johnny's death, which I don't talk about as much, I think that you know, our bond, our relationship was not as strong. We had adopted Johnny the year before. My biggest fear with Johnny's death was, how is it going to impact Christina and Kayla, and how it continued to impact them. But going back to that day, he drowned in the river, and he believed he could swim. And I had told him to wear a life jacket. Now, I wasn't there to enforce that. Maybe, but I didn't tell, like, the other adults that were there. I didn't tell anybody else. Maybe if I would have, like, made a big deal about it, because, you know, yes, he could swim in a city pool, but he did, you know, the country, these rivers, very deep, very scary. It's different. It's different to swim in those areas. And I did not communicate with everyone that was going to the river that Johnny should be in a life jacket. And prior to Johnny's tragic death, I had promised his biological sisters that they were safe now. They had been abused in the foster care system. They had been through so much in their young life. And I had promised, you are now in a family and you are safe. So did I lie to them? Because I didn't protect Johnny that day. And I have guilt about, you know, as I'm processing Reggie's death, like the difference. And I know that adopted children want so badly to feel that intense love. Did I not do that for my family? And then the day that Reggie passed, I can honestly say, as a licensed nurse, that his death that day was my fault. And, you know, I have, and this is where it is so important to separate these things in the grief and the decisions and the choices. It's okay to acknowledge something that you did wrong, But if I would have just sat and ruminated on what I'm about to tell you for the last 5 years, I would probably be suicidal, honestly. So we have to make a choice of how we organize these things in our brain and what we do with them. The day that Reggie passed away, he passed away at like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And but that day he wasn't well. He wasn't breathing well. He wasn't really himself. And, you know, almost pridefully, I'm like, well, I'm a nurse. Every time I go to the hospital, they never are able to do anything for him. He comes back and things are the same. And there's nothing they can do for DRPLA. He has really bad days and really good days. And so I just thought, it's a bad day. And I was waiting for, you know, a certain therapy that we were going to do. Let's do this therapy. Let's give him a little oxygen. He has orders for all of these nursing interventions at home. But I didn't know that something bigger was going on. I was completely blinded to really good assessment skills. And I typically have really good assessment skills. And I remember, like, I mean, Chrissy, you're so stupid. Like, when somebody's not breathing right, that is always an emergency. What the heck was I thinking? I didn't call 911 until his saturations were going down and I couldn't get them back up. And I honestly thought, oh, they're going to come, they're going to transfer us to the hospital. You know, I got to spend several days in the hospital. And like, I'm thinking about myself. And I remember when the paramedics walked into Reggie's room, they knew. They knew that he was slipping fast. And immediately began CPR. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was so wrong. And I walked away and I started praying. They bring people back all the time, right? I walked back in the room. And it must have been a long period of time had gone by. And the paramedic asked me to tell them to stop doing CPR on my own child. I couldn't do it. They had to call other people and make that decision on their own, but like, I'm a nurse. I'm a nurse practitioner. I've worked in emergency rooms. I've worked in jails. I've worked on the mission field with no equipment, and I was able to assess people. And I missed the signs that my son couldn't breathe, was dying. And I tell you that because each of you may have a story of something that you can't convince. Someone else can't convince you. You can't convince yourself that it was the right decision. I know it was not the right decision. I know as soon as he was having respiratory problems, I should have taken him to the ER. And I have to be honest with myself over that process. but I also have to forgive myself. And I also have to know that each one of us is doing the best that we can at the moment that we're doing it. Like, my intention obviously was not for my son to die. But it's okay to acknowledge a mistake that caused a tragedy. But it's also forgiving yourself, and if you need to make changes in the future. Now, I probably take my daughter to the ER more than I would have ever taken Reggie over more minor things, but that's okay. Like, it's okay to feel guilty, but you can't stay there. You cannot stay there. I mean, honestly, if that's all I remembered about Reggie and this process with Reggie and grief, I could potentially be suicidal now. Like, it would just eat me alive. And I know there's so many people that take something that happened and they can't move forward, and they're just ruminating on it, because they feel like if they would have done something different, the outcome would be different. And we don't know that. Maybe I would have taken him to the ER and he would have died at the hospital. Like, I can't say what would have happened if I would have made the better decision. So acknowledge if you did make a mistake. Forgive yourself and allow yourself to grieve the loss. I think of, there's other ways that this happens where, guilt just eats at people and they can't let it go. You've got to figure out how to acknowledge and let it go. And I think people are afraid to let it go because, they feel like it's factual. They feel like everything around it is true. Even if that's the case, you've got to let go of it emotionally in order to move on, right? When we talk about the mentally strong method, think, organize, choose. You can think about that. You can, analyze, know, maybe where you went wrong. You've got to organize it, put the grief in the right box, put behaviors and choices. We are never going to do everything right. And so you've got to let go of the emotional baggage that weight has on you in order to move forward. So grief and guilt, try to separate them, because the grief is the pain. You have to feel that pain. The guilt, you have to forgive yourself. And this is why we always talk about organizing these thoughts in your brain, because you don't do the same thing with all of the thoughts. So learning the mentally strong method, learning this kind of think, organize, and choose, continue to follow us and subscribe to the YouTube channel, look at our other socials, get involved, learn the mentally strong method. I truly believe in empowering everyone to be able to confidently say, I am mentally strong.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information, visit our website, www.mentallystrong.com,